And my name is Mindy Gare, and I am the Southeast Region Business Development Manager for the Entrusts Group and one of the co-hosts for the webinar today. Also joining us is Amit Gaglani, who is the Head of Growth at Accountable Equity. So during this webinar today, we are going to discuss investing in resort real estate using a self-directed IRA. And we will go over what experts are saying about the state of the commercial real estate market. We will share some insights on how drive to resorts function, and then how to understand the revenue models of resorts. We do hope that y'all find the information presented today on this webinar valuable and informative, and that it better helps you to expand your knowledge beyond your classic real estate knowledge to make sure that you can identify great opportunities whenever they present themselves. Everyone is going to be on mute, but if you do have questions as we go throughout the presentation, please feel free to type those questions in your questions box on your webinar dashboard, and we will answer them during the live Q&A at the end of this webinar. Also, after the webinar, we will be providing an audio recording to everyone in the event that you need to leave the webinar early, or you would like to share it with someone, or if you just really love the content and want to hear it again. So that will be available shortly after the webinar. Before we get started, I do have a quick disclaimer. Entrusts does not provide investment advice, tax advice, or legal advice. So we are not CPAs, we're not attorneys, and we're not financial advisors. We do not recommend or endorse any investments, products, or services. So all of the information that is presented in this webinar today is strictly for educational purposes. We do, however, recommend that you do seek investment advice, tax advice, and legal advice before entering into any investments. All right, a little background on myself. As I mentioned earlier, my name is Mindy Gare, and I am the Southeast Regional Business Development Manager for the Entrusts Group. I've been with the company for a little over 5 years now. Sorry, that icon on the screen is a little off. It needs to be updated. Prior to joining Entrusts, I did work in the retirement industry for several years. My main focus is working primarily with individual alternative asset investors, similar to yourself, investment sponsors and issuers. So basically any company raising capital. I work with a lot of CPAs and attorneys and advisors, so anyone who is working on diversifying their client's retirement portfolio with alternative assets. And I work out of our Nashville, Tennessee office. A little bit about Entrusts for those of you who are not already familiar with the Entrusts Group. We are self-directed IRA record keepers and custodians who specialize in holding alternative assets inside retirement accounts for our clients. We have been doing this for a little over 40 years, and we have empowered approximately 45,000 investors over the 40 years that we have been in business. One factor that makes Entrusts unique is our single point of contact business model that we offer to our partners and clients when they open an account with us or doing business with us. And we offer the single point of contact business model because we do understand that this area of business is much more complex than the standard stocks, bonds, mutual funds business. So we like to provide a higher level of customer service to our clients and partners. Most of our staff here at Entrusts hold the CISP designation, which is the Certified IRA Services Professional designation. We offer national continuing education classes for realtors and CPAs. We hold in-person events and virtual webinars similar to what we're doing today. And we actually sponsor an IRA Academy, which is where we teach the course that trains others in our industry to pass the CISP designation. So we are known in our industry as educators. All right. What is a self-directed IRA? Some of you are probably already familiar, and some of you might already have a self-directed IRA. But for those of you who are not already familiar, there are some benefits of having a self-directed IRA. I mentioned earlier that Intrust is a self-directed IRA record keeper and custodian. So I want to elaborate a little more on what I mean by self-directed, because there are some custodians out there that they say they offer self-directed IRAs, but you are still very limited to the assets that they have on their platform, typically being stocks, bonds, mutual funds, or very limited alternative assets. But with a true self-directed IRA, you are allowed to invest in assets that are not publicly traded. And we'll go over what some of those are in a little bit. It's not necessarily the type of IRA that that dictates what you can and cannot invest in. So a traditional IRA with Intrust and a traditional IRA at, let's say, a Charles Schwab or Fidelity have the same characteristics in regards to contribution limits, RMDs, eligibility requirements. It's the custodian that you have your money with that dictates what you can and cannot invest in. A true self-directed IRA allows the investor to take complete control over their retirement. And it is a retirement account in which the individual investor or fiduciary, if you have a fiduciary over your accounts, is in charge of essentially making all of the investment decisions. There's, as I mentioned earlier, many different asset classes that you can invest in. So the spectrum of what you can invest in is very broad. You're basically limited to, you cannot invest in life insurance collectibles or S corporations. So that leaves what you can invest to as very broad. I will say that self-directed IRAs are not for everyone, especially if you are clueless about the types of assets that you are investing in, because again, you as the account holder, you're the fiduciary over your account. It is your responsibility to do your own due diligence on the assets that you invest in. So just make sure that when you're utilizing a self-directed IRA, you fully understand the risks and returns that are associated with the assets that you are investing in. All self-directed IRAs are regulated by the IRC, which is the Internal Revenue Code. And here at Intrust, we hold anything that is allowed by the IRC and that is administratively feasible. All right, that is the end of my portion. I'm now going to turn it over to Amit Gaglani, Head of Growth, and he will go over investing in resort real estate. And go ahead, Amit.
Well, thank you, Mindy, and thank you, Intrust Group, for allowing me and giving me the opportunity to speak to your members, some of them who are actually investors with us already. So it's a great opportunity to just go out there and talk to people and get them to understand. A little bit about me. I was one of the first investors here at Accountable Equity in their properties, and I owned my own company. I'm a healthcare practitioner, and since then I have been helping Accountable Equity all along, and now I've been working in their leadership team to help them continue to grow. So I'm not only a representative of the company, but I'm also a longtime investor. So I'm happy to say that. So actually, before I even go on to this slide, I want to give some perspective. When people think resorts, it's very different than what I'm about to show you when you'll see what we're talking about resorts. What we're talking about is some drive-to destination resorts, which is different. Sometimes people think of resorts as in, let's say, the Ritz-Carlton in Aruba. Now, just remember, when people go to Aruba, it's not the Ritz-Carlton that's attracting people there. It's the beaches. It's Aruba that's attracting them to the Ritz-Carlton. So Ritz-Carlton has very little control about this. And you'll see with my presentation and what we're doing, it's the opposite. We are controlling our destination and our future here based on the way our resorts work. And I will elucidate a little bit more as we kind of go through everything, and everyone will see what I'm referring to. So we're going to have some slides that go into a little bit dialogue about what we're seeing in the markets right now, as far as the real estate markets, as far as 2023 recession talks, about what different people are saying. Peter Schiff and Jerry Siegel, these are outspoken individuals. Peter Schiff will go into is a stockbroker. Jeremy Siegel was the former a person who worked at the Wharton Business School and is outspoken economist. And we're going to go into like what we do in our industry to stay on top of things as well as what we're seeing. So as I said, Peter Schiff is the gloom and doom guy. He sees things as horrible now. It helps them to say all these things because it attracts attention to them. But they're also stockbrokers, so they also know how to play both sides of it. If stocks go down, they know how to do what they need to do. And then you have the economists who are saying, well, these are great buying opportunities. And the point of this slide is just basically showing everybody that you're going to hear things all over the spectrum. You can hear some people who are going to talk about gloom and doom, and then you're going to hear some people talk about these are great opportunities. So where is the truth? It's usually somewhere in between. You know, yes, we have to see what's kind of going on and kind of figure out, hey, in the future, this is what's kind of happening. This is what we're seeing. But then we also have to look at what Warren Buffett always says, that that's where you actually get the jewels. You know, when you are buying, when other people are selling, you know. So there's opportunities in every economic environment. This is Josh McCallum. He's our owner and CEO. He goes to national conferences for everything related to hospitality and what we're in. So this is a national lodging conference that he was at, but he goes to all of them. And he's well known at all of these too. So he has his ear to the pulse of what's going on nationally, not just locally, but nationally as well. So it's good to be in the know, and it's good to know what your other constituents are doing and what everybody's kind of seeing out there. And how do you do that? Yeah, you read a lot, you research a lot, but you show up and you get known, and you're also on the speaker panels, and you're also liaising with everybody that's in the industry. And that's what we're constantly doing to find out what's heading in the market, where the market is going as far as hospitality, as far as resorts, as far as just the whole economy in general. Because there's no isolated area in the economy that one area doesn't affect another. Everything affects everything. A little bit more about Josh McCallum, because he is the owner and the CEO of Accountable Equity, which is the parent company. And then we have Viva May, which we're going to go into as our hospitality company. So Josh has been in the industry for quite a long time. He has won many, many accolades when it comes to hospitality and growing the businesses. And he won on TripAdvisor, which some of you are going to be familiar with that website, top 7 hotels in the country. For something that he put together, which I will show you later, which happens to be in New Jersey. Now, if you're reading this, you may look at the last sentence, and I will tell you it is absolutely true. This gentleman has 10 children, and he is a person that believes deeply in family. So when he takes that with his hospitality too. He treats everyone there like family. He has meetings with his staff at all the resorts on a weekly basis and tells them to treat people like family. And actually, that's how I became more familiar with this investment and the hospitality in general. I actually, you know, showed up at the resort. Nobody knew who I was, and I was thinking about investing, and people were opening the door for me saying, welcome home. Mind you, they didn't know who I was or why I was there, but they kept saying, welcome home. I started to understand that this isn't just a rock star individual staff member. This is what they're taught day in, day out, how to treat people. And that at the heart of everything, that's what this gentleman believes, that at the heart of everything is, you know, treating everyone with a warm, you know, feeling is why people come to us. And that's what makes us successful. And we manage our own resorts. So we're not third partying it to somebody else. We have a hospitality wing in-house. So which adds, and it's a significant benefit to our investors too, because we are controlling all of that. So the economy and what the government is saying, that they want a manageable recession. They know something is coming. They know it's coming. And as you guys have seen, as everybody's seen, interest rates are being hiked up because they're trying to manage the recession. They don't want it to go full blown. So they're slowly, slowly increasing, you know, the rates, but they want it to be a manageable recession. Now, what we're seeing when it comes to resorts, when it comes to multifamily, when it comes to just anything in real estate is there's a big difference between what sellers think they deserve and what buyers are willing to pay. Sellers need to be motivated and realistic. The things that we have started to see in late 2022 is sellers are still holding on to the big numbers where they were getting inflated numbers. So they don't want to come down, where buyers are saying, well, we see economic change occurring, and we're not going to give those those high numbers. So you have the sellers wanting this and you have the buyers willing to give this. So that space in between is starting to narrow more and more, where the sellers are now really starting to come down. I'll be honest, we don't really see buyers really going up as much because they're still in a more of a holding pattern, but we definitely see sellers coming down. So we see tremendous opportunity coming in 2023. And we say, you know, it's a good idea to invest in diamonds that you already have. So, you know, so there's certain things that we're already in talks with in other people, and we also want to invest in ourselves as well while we see all these economic changes occurring. Once again, this is not just isolated in resorts. This is isolated. This is nationwide. But what you see nationwide is a trickle-down effect that it affects resorts and everything, especially our type of resorts that we'll talk about, which are, I don't want to call recession resistant. They are not like the Ritz-Carltons, for example, or the big hotel chains that are dependent on people who are coming on vacations. Those aren't the type of resorts that we're looking at and that we own. David Green is a person who has a podcast, and if anybody here has heard of Bigger Pockets, which is probably the number one real estate podcast. David Green, as well as Brandon Turner, they were together. Brandon Turner is no longer there now. He's doing other things, but David Green is there, and he's still very outspoken when it comes to real estate and commercial real estate and things. And what he had said is, you know, the great things that we see about, you know, commercial real estate are the forced equity. You know, when you have a property, whether it's a resort or a multifamily or something, and you're adding more value onto the property, the value forces the equity to go up. Market appreciation, number two, there's natural, the markets appreciate. And what we've seen is real estate is one of the best things out there, whether it's, you know, resorts and you own the property, but the markets appreciate over time. Same thing with natural equity, inflation. Inflation drives things to go higher in price, the property values increase in price. Buying equity, buying under appraised value. So when we're buying the properties, we're either buying them out of bankruptcy, or we're buying them under that their business model wasn't working and they're unloading it. You know, so for us, it's always a buyer's opportunity. We're not buying at the top of the market at a very high price. We're buying it because there's a great opportunity, you know, for us to get something at a deeply discounted rate. So we're buying it at much below the appraised value. We're buying it much below the rebuild value. We're buying it and understanding that what we need to do on the property, make the small changes that make the value go up by a significant amount. The cash flows, appreciating cash flows, rising markets demand increasing rents. Now, for multifamily, you know, if the markets are going up, the rents are going up. Rents going up increases what we call the net operating income of the property, and just by that alone, the property now is worth more money. So overall, real estate is a good place to put your money because it never goes down to nothing. A real estate, a venture that doesn't even go right, doesn't go down to nothing because there's always intrinsic value in the actual building and the actual property. And here's something. So Viva May is our hospitality wing of our company. Now, we're often in the news. We have a property here in New Jersey. We have two properties here in New Jersey, and we have one in Maryland. Okay. Now, here you could see the property on the left, which is Renault. So Renault has, we have a winery there. We have a golf course there. We have outdoor markets there, which I'm going to show you additional pictures on. We have a hotel there, and we have several restaurants there. We also host 6 to 13 weddings every weekend, and we probably do more weddings than anyone else on the East Coast. And so for that reason, and for the reason of that we do so many outdoor events that draw people to us, and the weddings draw people to us, we are actually in control of that market. And that's why we're in the news all the time and all everything that we're doing. Our new property on the right-hand side, you know, which is LBI National, which for those who are familiar with LBI, that's Long Beach Island. And that's, it's think of the Hamptons of New Jersey. Now, this property on the right-hand side that you see happens to be only 20-30 minutes from Renault Winery. And once again, we were in the news for buying that over, and we got it at a deep discount. And that has golf courses and the ability to do the type of venues that I was talking about that draw people in. Those are those wedding venues. Here we are again, you know, because of everything that we're doing and the wineries and the history of the winery, you know, we we get a lot of press for it. By the way, we're the only winery in the country that's allowed to make champagne because we were grandfathered into the rules before they actually, you know, brought them over here. So it makes us very unique in that as well. Here's a great quote from Steve Jobs, if you want to take a look at it. You know, he talks about the great Wayne Gretzky and his philosophy on skating to where the puck is going, not where it's been. And the idea is that, you know, have forethought into what you're doing and the actions that you're doing. Take a look to see where are the trends going, where are we going, where is the economy going. So, you know, you don't want to be reactionary. We want to be have forethought and to see what's happening. And we also want to sometimes pause to see, you know, are there great opportunities that just haven't revealed themselves yet? And we're seeing all of these things and we're making decisions based on what we're seeing in the economic changes that are occurring and the great opportunities that are out there. This is our Renault property in New Jersey that I started to talk about. And it's a winery and it's a resort. And in the pictures here, you can see this is the hotel area, which, by the way, the hotel is, unfortunately or fortunately, it's booked out for several months or years in advance because our weddings are booked out for the next 2 years. So whenever the weddings are booked out, the hotel gets booked out. Those are most weekends. During the middle of the week, we're trying to have corporate sales and things like that. So there's definitely availability then. But for the weekends, you know, because we're booked out, like I said, for 2 years in advance, you know, these are the things that I was mentioning to everybody, that our resorts are drive-to destination resorts. This is one. We have another one, as I mentioned, in Maryland. We have another one that's in LBI. Now, because they're drive-to destinations, what we're doing on our properties causes people to come to us. So therefore, we have control over our business. And sure, you could say, well, we don't know how weddings are going to do in this new economy. Well, let me tell you how the wedding business works. And I'm going to go into some specific slides and specific numbers. But the general idea is this. If someone is having a wedding, they have to give a deposit. And that's, generally speaking, 25 to 30% deposit. We have those deposits for people who are planning their weddings for the next 2 years. So we basically hold a piece of paper that's a contract. Can't break the contract either. So we already know the predictable sales that we are going to get coming into the future. So it's not like a regular resort where they're hoping that the weather is great so people will come to them. We already have this contracted in. We already know the sales that we're going to have. Now, you'll see down here, we have certain other things that we have going on the property. You can't see it over here, but we have, there's more of a beer garden over here, and we do outdoor events over here. This over here is a barrel structure that during the wintertime, we turn it into a Christmas tree. It's basically, these are wine barrels that we turn into, almost looks like a Christmas tree. This over down here has become a French market, and over to the right, which you can't tell, there's a big ice skating rink. So these areas over here, these are all fire pits. People pay a couple $100 every evening to sit out here and to have live music playing, and it's a very lively event. There's a bar here, there's eateries. There's a lot of things going on our event in our area that causes people to come here. We have multiple restaurants on the property. This is an area where we do weddings. This is another area we do weddings. Another area we do weddings. There's another area over here we do weddings. There's a tent over here that, you know, we do weddings in, and there's some more areas too. So these are the type of drive-to destinations that I was referring to. We have the control of bringing in the crowds, and then we have the ability to adjust the pricing of our wine tasting, of our food, of our, you know, almost everything. So we have a lot of levers on our property that we can control things. Plus, obviously, the hotel. Here's some of the winery. You can't see the rest of it because it's over here, and it goes around the golf course. The golf course is the putting green, and then the golf course goes all the way around. Vineyard National is the golf course. So what we were doing, you know, towards the end of 2022, watching the economy and still watching it, is we wanted to invest in our leadership and our organizational structure because we see so many great things that are happening. But with great things that are happening, you have to have the right personnel to be able to take advantage of these things. So we are putting that into our leadership team. Josh McCallan and his wife, Melanie, are at the top here. One of our first investors is now working with us. So what you see on this page, everyone here are investors. They were investors first before they actually joined the team. Josh and Melanie have put obviously their whole life into it, but Scott over here, he was one of the first investors. Michael, myself, Gethin, we're also investors here before we even joined the leadership team. So these are people who are investors looking out for other investors. And then the rest of the team are our chef. So he does corporate culinary directions for all of our properties. Then we have finance team. We have in-house hospitality, restoration, and developing construction. You know, we have a creative director who's basically, she's an architect and she helps us do the designs. Melanie's in charge of our wedding sales. So now that we bought the newest property, which is LBI National, we'll be doing weddings there. Now, because Renault is sold out and Renault is only 25 minutes from one of the properties, she will be able to sell weddings at the LBI National. And she also heads the team that does the weddings at Kent Manor, which is in Maryland, right outside of Annapolis. So here's something that we look at when we look at what the industry has when it comes to normal room rates and occupancy nationwide and what we're doing down here. Now, what you'll notice is occupancy here is higher than our occupancy. Now, but compare that to the average daily rate. Our average daily rate has skyrocketed and continues to skyrocket. Now, the reason for this is we are wedding driven, okay? So weddings generally happen Friday, Saturday, Sundays. So that's when we are packed. So that's when our charges are up too. Now, 2018 is when we bought the property. We started doing renovations, 2019, and then they started getting, you know, obviously 2020 was when COVID happened. Oh, fun fact, when COVID happened, we couldn't do any weddings. And I just said one of our main drivers is weddings. So could you imagine what happened during 2020? It's not exactly what you think. So because we couldn't do any weddings, the team was forced to come up with other ideas. So, and I will show you actually. So all of this didn't really exist too much before COVID. When COVID happened, they started building all this outdoor area. Well, I can tell you that this was so successful that the pro formas that they had got blown apart. They actually significantly increased the revenue beyond what they thought that they would do had they even done the weddings. So our revenue went from what we predicted to well past what we predicted, and we weren't even doing any weddings. It was all because everything else was shut down and we had all these outdoor events going on and we're outside of Atlantic City. So Atlantic City was totally closed. So everybody, all the executives from Atlantic City were coming over to our properties. And, you know, obviously they were drinking and they were having a good time in the outdoor events and the outdoor concerts and everything. So it was great. We actually surpassed our numbers significantly because of that. We actually haven't seen that outdoor area die down even yet, because I think we've been able to understand the marketing for it and capitalize on it. So it hasn't really died down. And then when the weddings came back, it was just added revenue. So what you'll see here is room rates. Okay. The room rates are here and they're continuing to go up. In here is when we bought it and we were renovating it. And then that's when COVID happened. So obviously the hotel wasn't doing so great at that time, but you know, afterward, 2021, we started increasing. So Friday, Saturday, Sundays, fully booked out. During the middle of the week, not so busy, that is starting to increase and it's starting to get that because of corporate sales. So this slide tells you, based on the national averages, we are much higher in many of the categories, and in the average daily rates, you could see it's significantly higher. The occupancy is actually starting to fill up during the middle of the week now as well. And this is just, I'm just using one of our properties as an example to be able to show you. This is what Josh had started with, Icona, and I put this slide on here just to give some perspective of what happens with some of the hotels that he has been working on. Bought it for $8 million, it just appraised for $37 million. Bought it for $24 million, appraised for $54 million in 2018. Bought it for $3.5 million, appraised for $12.5. Now that was when he worked with a different family on this thing. Now with Renault, we bought it at $5 million in 2018. Now it's at $37 million, but in 2026 it's projected at $75 million. these are not our appraised value. This is a bank appraising it and telling us that this is how much it's worth because of the revenue that we're driving in. Do you remember that one slide that I said that you're able to force appreciation by the things that you do and the events and the things that you do on the properties? They're called value adds. So we keep adding more value, so the appraised value keeps going up because every time we add more to the property, we're getting back a significantly higher number in the revenue. 2020, we bought Kent Manor at 5 million. It's already at close to 20 million. We just bought in March, April of this year, 7 million. It's already at 30.9 million. We haven't even started doing weddings here. We're in the middle of doing renovations. This is all based on how much golf is being done at this property right now. That's how much the revenue has been driven by golf. Wedding sales, okay? So I could totally understand somebody's perspective saying, Amit, you know, wedding sales might be really great right now. It's because you couldn't really do weddings during the COVID time. So this is just backed up numbers that are now starting to actually deliver on. And we would say, actually, these are not our figures. This is independent figures that are done saying, you know, what's going on in the wedding industry. And to some degree, yes, we are actually doing the weddings that we couldn't do before, but we're actually getting a lot more leads and we're getting a lot more sales for future ones too. So back in 2018, 47,000 weddings were the demands. We're getting now like 50, 55,000. This slide was put together, you know, 5, 6 months ago. And at that time, the demand for 2023 was there at 50, but now it is definitely gone up. The price of weddings has also gone up from there to there. And as you can see here, New Jersey ranks number one out of the 51 states in average wedding cost. I wish I could tell you the reason why, but you know, it is a fact. You know, also 14 out of 51 states for number of weddings. This is one of the pictures in between in the vineyard at Renault. Bread and butter. So we like to say that weddings are our bread and butter, but we found it's still pretty much true, but we're realizing that, you know, our events that we have on our property are also our bread and butter. They really attract thousands of people to us. You know, here is a magazine, you know, that had written about, you know, what the future of weddings looks like. You know, the food prices are going up, everything is going up, but the prices of wedding are still going up. And I can tell you our sales for weddings are continuing to go up. So in 2018, when we were looking to buy Renault, Josh was doing a presentation to some of the investors or the investor community. And at that time, the leads that we were getting for weddings was 795 leads. Okay, that was in 2017. Let me show you what the leads are right now. We are getting 6,000 leads for weddings now. So the demand for weddings has significantly gone up. I would like to also believe that because we've executed on so many beautiful weddings and we've become pretty popular, you know, we're getting more and more leads on weddings. Now, the pictures are for Renault, but this is happening at all of our properties because we've kind of fine-tuned on what we're doing and how we're doing it. Untapped markets. There's so many things that we have not even gone into to help try to expose more profitability. In the middle of the week, we haven't tapped into Airbnbs and marketing to them. We haven't tapped into corporate sales, which we're just starting to. You know, that has become corporate retreats is becoming a big thing, and they're starting to book up during the middle of the week. But we still haven't gone full tilt into them. But these are also opportunities for us to tap into. The diamonds for us are the opportunities that keep coming to us. You know, we are offered many, many things right now, and in certain aspects, we're on a hold. We're holding because we see opportunities and feel like there's going to be better opportunities. We have many, many investors. We have over 3,000 people interested in our properties who are on our mailing list that constantly get our information, that participate with us at either our Learn and Grow events or, you know, participate in investing with us. Like I said, some of the people that are investing with Intrust also invest with us. We are continuously looking at the resorts, but we are also looking at different opportunities when it comes for wineries and other opportunities out there. the appetite of our investors is such that they like what we're doing and they like how we're doing it. And we have built a very good community, and we're very big and strong about our investor community. And so we're very investor minded. And that usually drives us. So in summary about everything here, the idea of resort investing is not just a beach resort. These are resorts that drive people to them. Okay, they're drive to destinations, but because of what we're doing at the resorts, that's what drives people to these resorts. It's very different than a typical type of thing. And we are contracted out for several years, so we already know we have predictable sales. And we have so many events and so many things going on the property that these are all levers to increase cash flow for us. And all these properties turn around tremendous amounts of cash. And we have opportunities that we have to invest in the properties as well as, you know, some other things that we do. But if you're looking at resort investing, always ask yourself, well, what is bringing the person to the resort? Is it the actual resort or is it the environment? And if it's the environment, how much can you control of that? You know, the one thing I like about what we do is we have a tremendous control. And as a business owner myself, you know, control is something that you want when you own a business. You do not want to be reliant and dependent on outside factors that you have nothing to say or nothing to do with. So with us, we have a significant ability to control how much people we get. And that says a lot about the revenue model that we have and put together. So if you want to reach out to me about any specific things personally, my email is agaglani, A-G-A-G-L-A-N-I at accountableequity.com. Or you can go to our website, accountableequity.com, and you'll see many different things there to learn about. You can reach out to us that way, and I'm sure it'll come back to me or my other constituents on the leadership team, and we'd be happy to help you.
All right. Thank you, Amit, for that very informative overview of resort real estate. And these types of investments are the exact types of alternative assets that you can hold inside of your self-directed IRA. So thank you very much again for that excellent presentation. We do have an upcoming webinar on February 15th on SDIRA investing in startups before they go public. So if you're interested in joining that webinar, you can register today on our website. We do have a short survey after this webinar. So if you have any feedback, we would love to hear your feedback on topic requests. And if you would like more information on self-directed IRAs, we have an excellent website and learning center where you can access that information. You can also reach out to us directly. We also do have social media, so you can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. We also are going to now open it up for the live Q&A. So if you do have questions, go ahead and type those in the questions box on your GoToWebinar panel. And Amit, would you mind flipping to the next screen? I believe it has all of our contact information. Oh, I'm sorry, one more. There it is.
Perfect.
It has all of our direct contact information. So if you have questions on investing in the resort real estate that Amit went over, there's his contact information right there. If anyone has questions on self-directed IRAs, on the different ways that you can fund the IRA, on the different types of IRAs that you can actually utilize to invest in alternatives, anything on the self-directed space, you can contact me directly. My email and phone number are listed there. Or again, you can go to our website as well and learn more about self-directed IRAs there. All right, I'm going to go ahead and go to our chat box here for the live Q&A. We do have one question, and the question is for Amit. What is the minimum investment amount?
It really depends on the investment, because we have three different types. We have equity class investments, which you saw are the actual resorts. Then we have some tax mitigation ones, which have different numbers in them too for minimums. And then we have something called a debt fund, collateralized debt fund, which also has a different minimum too. So each one has different minimums, and each property may have different minimums too. So it may be easier to answer your direct question if you want to email me and I can go through the specifics of like what each one requires.
Okay, great. Yep. And again, Amit's contact information is listed there on the screen if you want to reach out to him directly. In regards to interest minimums, there are no minimums. It really just needs to make sense from a fee standpoint. Our fees are listed on our website, or you can email me and I can send you over our fee disclosure. But there is no minimum with interest to make an investment, and there's no maximum. So there's that.
I think our the lowest minimum of one of our things is $10,000. I think that's one of our investments, but that's the lowest one.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. All right. It doesn't look like there's any other questions coming through at the moment, so I'm going to go ahead and give it another minute or so and see if we can get any other questions in.
Some questions that I get asked often are, you know, what properties are you looking at to purchase, or, you know, which direction or what part of the country are you looking at? Because we have two in New Jersey and we have one in Maryland, and the one we have Maryland, it isn't just because it's in our area. We're looking at things all over the country. It just what sticks, because we have a process that we kind of vet everything out and we look at different properties and we look at, you know, the opportunities. So the stuff that we do on our properties, we're able to do pretty much anywhere, and the teams that we're able to put in are anywhere. We're just looking for great opportunities that make sense for us that we can capitalize on.
Okay, great. Yep, makes complete sense. All right, there is one more question that came through. The question is, last slide about diamonds. Not sure what he was referring to.
Okay, I can go back to that slide. Ooh, let me. Asset deleveraging, we have great enterprise value. So we have great enterprise value and an opportunity to strengthen the long-term growth of our business. So while the economy is going through its ups and downs and things like that, we keep putting money into our own resorts, you know, by adding more and more value inside of us. So we keep investing currently into, like I showed you in that picture for Renault, we keep adding more things in there. So when we refer to diamonds, it's like it's in our own possession. We're just adding more value to it. So our enterprise value for that specific property continues to go up because we keep adding more to it. And every time we've added these things, like these outdoor, let's say the outdoor park or the outdoor marketplace, we're adding more investment value into that property. And because we're doing that, we're actually getting back a significant value. So right now we're looking at opportunities inside of our own resorts to invest in, adding more hotel room space because we're running out of hotel room space. So that's what I was referring to about diamonds.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. It looks like we have another question coming through. It says, is this considered a REIT? Do your investments pay a dividend?
So we have a preferred rate of return, but they are not considered REITs. REITs have a different tax structure altogether. And these are not REITs.
Okay, great. Thank you. How frequently is an investor paid for the investment? For example, on a $25,000 investment?
Each one is different. We have investments that pay out monthly. We have investments that pay out quarterly. I don't think we have anything that pays out yearly per se, but it's usually quarterly, or some of them are even monthly, because we have the three different classes. We have the equity class, we have the tax mitigation ones. You know, I call it tax mitigation ones, but and then we have the debt structure. So the soonest that you get paid is monthly. I think the other one might be quarterly.
Okay, great. And again, you can just reach out to Amit directly on getting more specifics on those questions.
And what I usually like to do, just, you know, instead of just giving broad overviews, when I speak to you individually, I can go into a lot more detail which one might be right for you. And then obviously the choice is yours, but as an investor, I know the understanding, and I know the mindset, because I'm looking at investments all the time as well. So I'd rather be able to tell you what's tailor-made for you specifically.
Yep, absolutely. All right. How long is the hold period? Can we get out at any time?
So the equity class investments, no. Generally speaking, you cannot get out on an equity class investment at any time. There are other ones that we have that give you the flexibility of being able to pull your money out within, you know, you just have to give us notice. And depending on what's actually written, I think it's 2 weeks up to 90 days. It depends on the actual verbiage that's on the contract. But yeah, it depends on the actual investment. but the equity class, I know that they're usually, you know, 3 to 5 years at least for them to hold, because we're utilizing that money on the property to actually improve the property. We have some other ones that are you're able to pull out much quicker.
Okay, great. Thank you. Next question. He touched on environment or actual resort. Which one is beneficial as investors?
So in if I'm not incorrect, what I was referring to when I said environment is our resorts are drive to destinations. They're not dependent on, let's say, a beach that people are going to. I use the example of Aruba, and that's the environment. So when somebody talks to their family about going on vacation, they say they want to go to Aruba because they want to visit the beach. They're not necessarily saying that they want to go to Aruba because they want to go to the Ritz-Carlton. So my point was the Ritz-Carlton isn't attracting people to, for people to come to Aruba. Aruba's beaches are. So that's the environment that's actually doing the draw. Where in our area, the draw in our destinations, the draw is what we are doing on our properties that's, you know, making it enticing for people to come to us. If that's, I hope I understood your question properly.
If not, please reach out to Amit directly and he will further discuss that with you. Next question, what about overseas resorts? Would you also recommend opportunities in Europe, for example?
So the premise of this educational process was to basically deliver to you that in a business model, when you have control over the aspects of it, you're in a better business position. In the European models, American models, it doesn't matter. It's usually the destination that's that's requiring, you know, people to come to them. And it's usually not the resort itself, but it's the destination. So as long as nothing happens that prevents that destination, it's okay. But you have to look at the metrics and you have to look at the average daily value. But for me, just as a business owner, what are they doing to market it to get people to come to them? Or are they just one in 1,000 other resorts that are next to them? You know, for us, even if resorts open up right next to us, it makes no difference because we are deciding and putting together the venues that attracts people to us. So that's the differentiating factor. And to be honest with you, European laws and European things, I'm not familiar with at all. So I couldn't even go into, you know, how they do what they do over there. You know, I've been to resorts over there and do I enjoy them? Yes, but I don't know the financial models that they use.
Okay, great. Thank you. Next question. Is there a minimum investment period or option to sell?
I think that's more of a specific question that I would have to talk to them individually, because like I said, there's different things that we have. We have different classes of investments and each one's going to have a different answer to it.
Yep. Thank you. Whoever asked that, just reach out to Amit directly and he can further discuss that with you. Next question. Are overseas resorts opportunities also good as an SDIRA consideration?
I don't know if I can answer that for SDIRAs for overseas things. I'm not equipped to answer that for self-directed IRAs for overseas hotels.
Yeah, and we actually don't provide any sort of investment advice. So you as the account holder are your own fiduciary. So if you're seeking investment advice, I would definitely talk to a licensed professional for that. Next question, for equity class, how long is the hold period?
So it depends on which one, because at the equity class investments, each one of the resorts that I was talking to is a separate equity class investment. So depending, Renault, when it started, might have had 5 to 7 years. You know, that one had sold out. You know, right now we're looking to open it up again. When we do open it again, we would be able to tell you, dictate at that time. But typical, I would say typical ones are 5 to 7 years or hold times. The shortest I've seen that we've done was 3 years. But it also depends on what is open. You know, when we start talking about these things, you know, things start selling out and whatever's left is a different situation. Meaning that I could have been talking to Entrust Group, let's say 3 months ago, about giving a presentation 3 months into the future. When that presentation comes, it's whatever's open at the time. So right now, if you reach out to me, I can go over what we have open and what the hold periods are for each one.
Okay, great. Thank you. We got a couple more questions coming in. Next question, what are the average returns on a $100,000 investment? Can you give an example?
That I can't give because of the nature of the this talk. This was purely for educational purposes, not specific about our investments. That if you are interested in finding that information out, just reach out to me directly so I can individually answer your questions. The Entrust Group is providing this as an educational opportunity for everyone out there who's maybe interested in understanding and learning more about just investing in resorts.
Yep, absolutely. Next question. How much equity multiple has investors received at the end of the investment hold period?
So right now we're still in the cycle of that investment hold period. So we basically tell them the pref that they're getting. Every person has received the prefs that they've been promised. Nobody has been held out of anything. We've always paid up to date. So every pref in every one of those equity investments has been paid according to what they put their money in. For example, if they put their money in thinking they were going to get 7, 8, 9%, that's what we've been paying them. So everybody has been paid to date. So nothing has been held back.
Okay, great. Thank you. It looks like that's it on the questions. I'm going to go ahead and give it another 30 seconds or so to see if anyone has any last minute questions. Again, you can type those in the questions box on your GoToWebinar panel.
I will tell you, I just remembered something. In some cases, we actually overpaid people because we did so well. We actually accelerated paying them. But that depends on which equity class one that the person had invested in time. But I remember because I was an investor and I got an extra payment, didn't know what it was from. So I was like, what is this?
It's a nice problem.
Yeah. Good thing I didn't return it. But yeah.
All right. Let's see. It doesn't look like there's any other questions coming through at the moment. So we will just go ahead and wrap up the webinar for today. Again, all of our contact information is listed there. We would appreciate it if you would take a few minutes to answer the quick survey at the end of the webinar. Otherwise, we really appreciate everyone joining us today and hope you found the information to be informative. And again, visit our websites if you have any questions or reach out to us directly. And thank you everyone for participating. Amit, thank you for joining us on this co-hosted webinar.
Thank you, Mindy. Thank you, Entrust Group. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.